afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the podcast that explores the world within and out. And thank you for subscribing to Traveling Inside Out, anywhere you get your podcast from. And if you could rate it anywhere you want, just rate it and like it and do all the things, because that will help me being noticed by other listeners like you. Thank you. Okay, so here's the deal. When I started this podcast 2 years and a half ago, I kept talking about how I'm a solo female traveler, going there and there. So far, I've been to 30 countries so far. But that's the thing. I keep saying I've been to 30 countries so far, but I've been to the United States 9 times. I've been to Italy 3 times. I've been to Hungary 4 times, I think. I've been to Ecuador 2 times. So, you know what? I've been to 30 different countries, but I have returned to some of places quite a bit. But what I wanted to say is that I kept talking about traveling as a solo female traveler. I've also talked how it went for me to travel with my mom, for example. And if you're interested in that, you can check the episode about Morocco. And I have to talk now about switching from the solo traveler that I used to be, and I still am more or less, to traveling in a couple with my partner. I am on some Facebook groups in which is all about female power and ta la 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 la. And I wrote there, I think, about traveling with a partner. And some people were like, yeah, what's so good about it? And I realized, because I have been that person, I realized that I can't quite explain, because then that means that I need to explain to you my entire relationship. And I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about traveling by myself or traveling with someone else. Well, of course, it's better when you are with someone that you like. If you don't like your partner, and I know there are people out there, then it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be, you know, enjoyable. Not to say that there are no challenges at all, because there are, especially for me, because I am used to do everything by myself, and I'm used to take all the decisions, of course, by myself. And it is quite a difference, but I will tell you one by one, basically. So far, I traveled with my partner in Ecuador last year in November, December. So if you're really interested in listening to that podcast, you can go ahead and find my explanation about how it was to travel in COVID times, before the vaccination even happened. And he has visited me for a bit over a week here in Iceland, where I live. So first and foremost, of course, I have been visited in Iceland by 2 other friends from Romania. And with one of them, I actually went on a trip. And it was pretty nice. It was a bit challenging, I would say, but it was pretty nice. Now, the difference is that I know way more about Iceland than I knew 4 years ago. So I think I put a pressure on myself, as in, oh my God, we have to do this and this and this and this. But the fact that the trip wasn't planned ahead, so we didn't know like 1 week before that he's coming or something like that. It was like a very short notice kind of a trip. I didn't have time to plan anything. And something's really worth being planned, especially if you're staying for such a short time. You have to plan stuff. So we kind of went how, you know, like we went how we felt like, and we were also kind of depending on the weather. So initially I was planning to go on a longer trip and sleep somewhere in the south, for example, but finally we decided against it. So we've only done the Golden Circle and the South Coast, which are the most common ones that you get to see when you are in Iceland. I wanted to take him to Snæfellsnes. I wanted to take him to Reykjanes. But the weather was kind of shitty anyway, and we didn't have enough time, I would say. But that being put aside, I do want to talk about some differences between, and I'm going to generalize, between traveling by myself or traveling with someone else or with my partner. The first thing is that I am a morning person, and I usually love to start, if I know I'm going on a trip, to start the day early. So then I'm already out of the city and so on, which we've done for those 2 days when we went outside of the city. But the rest of the days, not really. And I didn't want to force my partner to like, okay, you need to wake up at this time. Which I was waking him up anyway, but way later, like 2 or 3 hours after I woke up, just so you understand the difference. So that's the one thing. Like, if I would be for me to explore, I would, of course, again, it depends on the weather, but I would want to start early in the morning. For me, if it's already midday, for me, it's like the day is done. Like, I've been waking up when for others are like, that's when the day starts. For me, if it's midday or a bit afternoon, I'm like, that's where I'm ending my day. Like, okay, I've already finished. So if I haven't done something until that time, I feel like, nope, I'm going to wait until next day and I'm going to do it then. That's how I am as a person. And it's weird and it's probably not productive. And I mean, when I'm not in a proper job, like when I'm not at work, I mean, just for me and do things for myself, basically. The interesting thing is that, and I think that actually kind of helps, the fact that when I travel by myself, I usually ask around. I mean, when I was in South America, it was different because I did have a friend that he was traveling before me with like 1 month. So he would tell me some places and some spots and so on. I would look online. I would ask friends that they have been in South America, where to go and so on. So I would make my plans like 1 week ahead or 2 weeks ahead. But I would kind of still have an idea, even though I changed my mind a lot of times. Like I didn't go to, my plan was to go to Colombia and Bolivia as well. And then I ended up not going at all. So I was making the plans as I was going, and I would kind of ask for other ideas on other people. Well, now I'm the one with the ideas and my partner kind of follows, or he gives me his input if he feels strongly about, like he doesn't want to go there or he doesn't want to do that. But most of the time he was like, yeah, sure, I trust you, let's do that. So it's interesting to see how when I was alone, I was looking for someone else's ideas. When I'm not alone, I'm the one with ideas. This is an interesting thing that I didn't even think about that much up until basically it happened. Money-wise, it's easier and it's not. And I'm going to be very blunt and say that when I travel alone, I have a budget. I mean, my life is on a budget. I'm always having a budget for everything. And even if I go over the budget, but at least I know that I have a budget. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not always perfect to be under the budget or to be spot on the budget. Sometimes I'm over, but at least I know in such a way that I know I went over the budget. So then the next month or the next whatever time frame I have, I will spend less because I've went overboard the previous time. So I've noticed that my partner doesn't have a budget, and it's probably coming from the fact that, first and foremost, I'm from Romania, but I live in Iceland, so already my budget set is different, because in Romania, I wouldn't pay the things that I'm paying here. It's like they seem so expensive, but because it's different money, right? Or he is from the United States, so he has another perspective, but he doesn't have a budget per se. And I think that also comes from me traveling for so long by myself and trying to be like, okay, like if I'm spending this money, I don't know when the next money are coming. So, you know, I have to really think through. Well, for him, he hasn't needed to actually be on a strict budget, I would just say that, when it comes to traveling, because he hasn't done the traveling so often. And when he's traveling, he's like, I can splurge a little. But even the idea of splurging, I think my idea of splurging and his idea of splurging are two different things, because I'm a cheap person. I'm just going to say it. I'm a cheap person. Well, he is not. So I think that in my mind as a solo traveler, I was thinking like, you know, when I want to go to a fancy hotel and I book this room, and I know it costs a lot, but like, you know, I want to do that. I always felt like, well, when I'm going to have a partner, we're going to book this room together. So we're going to split. So then the money that I used to pay for a fancy room in a hotel would be actually split up, basically, right? So I would have, it's going to be cheaper for me to stay in a hotel. Well, yes and no. It doesn't quite go like that. Mathematically speaking, I was probably wrong. So I am still struggling to adjust to how, I think I need to make it more clear what is the budget. Probably I need to communicate more with my partner about what the limits are, or what are my limits, or what are his expectations, or things like that. Because for now, the fact that I've been in Ecuador and I lost count of how much money I spent, to the day, I'm still not feeling okay about it. Like, I still wanted to have a rough approximation, but also the fact that sometimes I would pay, sometimes he would pay. A lot of times you just pay cash and you don't know exactly. Like, I'm not going to, I am the person who right now I have a spreadsheet in Google which I'm putting down every single thing that I'm spending money on. And I've been doing that since February, and it's an amazing thing because I really want, and it's going to probably help me next year for my taxes as well. But it's important to know, like, wait a minute, what is this about? What is that about? So the fact that I've had a trip for 1 month and I still don't know to the day how much, it's like, it's a bit concerning to me. So I think I need to be a bit more as in, okay, so this is the budget, this is what I have, tell me what you have, let's see how we can meet and so on. And I don't know how other people are doing it, because I have to be honest. Before, when I traveled, if I traveled with a friend, because I traveled with a friend a few times, we just split everything half and everybody pays like on the spot. But sometimes, and when I traveled with my mom, I tried to pay extra because I had more money than her. So I tried to pay for more stuff than her. She gave me a little bit of money, but like I was trying to pay extra. And when I went with my brother, we were freaking broke, both of us. So we didn't spend money on almost anything. We barely had some sandwiches. And I'm not overreacting when I'm saying that. So the thing is that I can't, you know, so now it's a new thing for me, traveling with my partner. I traveled with an ex before, and he paid for most of the things. And it made me feel so fucking insecure that probably I'm bringing this in this relationship, which is not fair. But I still believe that I need to draw kind of like a better sketch of the budgeting, because I truly don't know. Like, I started asking other people in their relationship, like, how are you doing with this and that? Because I don't know. Like, I feel like sometimes he wants to do more, but because I'm complaining that it's too expensive, he's not doing it. And then it's not fair to him either, you know? So it's really difficult to find the middle ground, which, again, this was something that I didn't have to, like, back in the day, would be for me, if I would be for myself, if it's something outside of my budget, I would be like, so I cannot do it. Okay, the end. I don't think that my partner thinks the same. So, yeah, this I think is the biggest challenge, which I think this is a challenge probably in general in a relationship. Money, it's always a problem, or like a challenge, to say the least. I just don't want to be seen or like pointed out like, oh, she's taking advantage of this and that. And I'm like, I'm not that kind of a person. But probably I'm overdoing it also. So, yeah. But one of the things which is gonna sound so frugal or like whatever is the word, is that I really love the fact that I get to have pictures of me taken like randomly in the trip. Because when I'm alone, I can act like it's a picture taken without me knowing, but I always know that because I'm the one taking the picture. So I love that. The fact that I get to have some pictures of me in different circumstances, that's amazing. However, when it comes to taking a picture that I want to pose for, I'm never happy with the pictures that my partner takes. So it's amazing when he's taking pictures of me without me realizing. I'm not happy with the pictures when I'm posing. So I think I'm gonna, probably in the future, I'm gonna take pictures of myself when I'm posing and just be happy with the pictures that he's taking without me realizing that he's taking those pictures. One of the best things, and this is something that I've said before in my podcast, in some interviews, is to ask, like when I was asking people, when do they feel the most lonely? And for me, it has always been when I'm seeing something that I love and I cherish a lot, and then I realize that there's nobody there to share it with. So when I have these happy moments and I still cannot, I don't find anyone that's there to share the happy moments with, that's when I feel the most lonely. And this is the best part of traveling with my partner. To be able to share these happy moments, to be able to see him being happy because of the things that he has seen, especially in Iceland, because, again, I've been in the places where I've been so many times, so it's not a surprise anymore. So to see him excited about the things that don't excite me anymore, which I now I understand that this is how people felt when I went to New York, and things that get me excited, and they are like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is amazing. I love to see the happiness and the sparkling of the eyes and my partner asking me to take a picture of me here and here and no, like this. Yeah, thank you. Okay, like that. I love that. That makes my soul so goddamn happy that I don't have proper words to describe it. Honestly. It's really, really, really lovely. And I'm very happy that I get to share these moments with him. No matter. And also, I have to add that I said this before, that sometimes I get frustrated most of the time with myself. So it's kind of weird, but kind of nice in the same time when I know that I'm getting frustrated, I'm taking it all out. And then there's someone by my side that will be like, it's okay, you know, like can caress me and be like, okay, are you good now? That never happened before. I get frustrated, I get angry, I take it all out, and then I'm like, wah, 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 and then that's it. And then I have to keep going, you know. So it's nice to have someone that's like, I'm here for you. That's so lovely. And I can't, yeah, so I think for someone who, this is the thing, I never thought that I need this. Because I was like, no, I don't need this. And the truth to be told is that I don't need it, but I wanted it in my life. It's so much better. It is, and this is what I want to end with. Traveling solo, it's something that really empowered me to know who I am, to know what I want, to know all these things. But traveling as a couple is an upgrade. Everything that I felt before is just better in a couple, which, believe me, I didn't think that I'm going to say, but I fully believe that this is the truth. this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so by emailing to alinaswonders@gmail.com. Until next time, follow your dreams and stay true to yourself.